Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Hell and High Water with myself and my co-host, Chuck Ocelli. Good morning, Chuck.
Oh, good morning, Maria. You know, is it a good morning? North Korea and the missiles, they're ready. The nuclear warheads, we should be very nervous, shouldn't we, Maria?
Well, we got McMaster saying he's ready to nuke them, and they're ready for a short war. Another short war like Afghanistan, which is getting handed over to Eric Prince. So, we live in interesting days for sure. And yet everybody's still obsessing over everything the idiot king is typing away in his tweets. You know, here he is on his vacation and he couldn't play golf because it was raining. And I said, you know what? Real golfers play in the elements.
Golf. What an elitist white man sport anyway.
I know.
I'm speechless.
I know. But, you know, years ago I learned how to play for business reasons because there's a lot of business conducted on the golf course. And I can tell you this, real golfers, they play in the wind and the rain and the snow. And one of them actually dropped dead while he was playing golf. So a little rain, and I guess the snowflake was afraid he was going to melt.
Well, you know what's sad is that there's also certain types of business that's conducted in strip clubs, honestly, Maria. And I got to tell you, there's a little more integrity to the business being conducted at strip clubs nowadays than at golf courses, it seems to me. And I know that sounds like a crazy statement.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. I've seen the movies. And I think Trump, I think I read something yesterday that his modeling agency is being investigated for human trafficking. So I'm sure, you know, he's bought some patents, I believe, either in China or Russia, where they're setting up basically strip clubs under Trump's name. So maybe that's another place he does business. After all, he did call off the Secret Service from protecting him while he's in New Jersey. How about that?
Well, you know, he's got to cut him a break somewhere because he was kind of overcharging them for rent at Trump Tower, from what I understand, or maybe I missed something.
Yeah, he was overcharging them at Trump Tower. Now they're in a trailer on a side street in Manhattan. Can you imagine that? And they finally realized they were getting ripped off by Trump, who shouldn't be making money as president, but he's making money every which way he turns, on his golf courses, his hotels, from the Secret Service, from whoever he can bleed it from.
Oh, yes. And I wonder if Trump TV is going to be profitable since we've started up that little experiment too, right?
Well, yeah. And supposedly he made some kind of deal with the FCC that basically every household will be carrying his shitty Trump station. Well, I can guarantee you it won't be playing in my house.
I don't even know how that's possible. But okay, yeah. And wait a minute. Isn't like the leader's propaganda arm not supposed to be something that can be legislated? And I don't know this place we used to call America. I mean, I a former president can offer a book. They can make statements on television. The networks have a choice whether to carry them or not, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that's what I always understood about the media. Did I miss something?
Right. Well, this is how every third world banana republic goes, so I'm not surprised.
I love how it starts out as a Facebook Live, basically, with his daughter-in-law. That's great.
Right,
Let me tell you the real news about President Trump this week. He's done so many honorable things. And
I'm sure it'll have plenty of white blondes on the show.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure if the daughter-in-law there was brunette. I don't know.
No,
you know,
she's a blonde. I saw her as a blonde, but I'm sure none of it's natural on any of them.
Well, yeah. But, you know, she just sort of blurred into the barrage of logos and, what do they call those things? The chirons that go by to tell you different
right,
things.
Right, right. And I mean, how people can look at this and not see nepotism at it's absolutely worse with this administration. I just don't know how people can still say this is okay.
Well, you know, after all, Obama did all this, didn't he?
I don't remember him having a TV show, no.
Oh, okay. No, I was just checking, because usually that's the go-to answer, isn't it? Well, you know, Obama did worse, and Obama did this, and Hillary did worse, and Hillary did this. I thought that was the go-to.
But the bottom line is neither one of them are in office. That's my answer. And right now we have to deal with the devil we got. That's what I tell people. I said, I've covered them to death for how many years, and now we have to deal with the new devil in office. So to me, you know, Hillary, Obama, they're yesterday's paper. We've covered them to death. And it's time to deal with the man who now came in at 33% approval rating, and in some polls, 32%. 79% of Americans don't trust one word coming out of the White House.
See, now I wonder about those polls because I see no real movement in the staunch support that he's got in his base. They, you know, literally, I've had people contact me recently and talk to me off the air who listen to the show and say to me, you know, you're very cynical about this. You almost sound like the people on CNN. And I go, okay, something is very wrong with what you're listening to. You must be going to the wrong link. And they say, no, you really do, because you're attacking this guy who's an outsider and he's doing his best and he's got a lot of things done. And I keep asking, what?
Really, what's he got done outside of loading the court systems with crazy fake Christian conservatives throughout the country? He's still got one. He's only filled 1/5 of the jobs in the administration, but he's loading the courts at the same time. That's what he's done.
Well, you know what I find more fascinating than that is the the change on the world stage. You may not have agreed with Obama's policies, and of course I view Obama's policies as continuing the Bush regime policies,
right,
which were a continuation of the Clinton regime policies, which were a continuation of the Bush regime policies, and on it goes. But I see something else happening now, because I dare say under a guy like Obama, or Bush even, we wouldn't have this issue with North Korea that we have right now. We wouldn't have the new engagements that seem to be getting ready to emerge in other places because, hey, big shocker, with a State Department where there's many, many unfilled jobs, okay?
Especially ambassadorships, diplomats, we have none.
Yeah, right. We're not managing foreign policy very well.
We're not managing domestic policy. Look, Oklahoma just got slaughtered with quite the storm. And they're underwater, just like someplace in Louisiana. And if they're waiting for FEMA to help, well, they got to take a lesson from West Virginia, because what they asked FEMA for, they got 10% of, and there's no one leading FEMA right now either.
Well, oh, hey, that's all the fault of Obama, right? And the Obama holdovers and the resistant Democrats that make up a minority in the Senate and House. So isn't it all their fault, actually, that these positions aren't filled, Marie?
Of course. It's always their fault. Of course. Because we have an asshole who said he was never going to go on vacation, who's now on his 43rd vacation. You know, people started counting it from his first golf outing, but people forgot that he took the day off after inauguration, didn't work till Monday, the man who said he was going to get right to work. His 42 golf trips have cost the taxpayers $55 million, and now he's crying in the rain and leaking classified information about North Korea on Twitter and bitching about he can't play golf because it's raining.
Well, there you go. And what does he do constantly also with his, you know, media outlet that he has at his fingertips at all times, apparently, is continuously tell us how the news media will not report his wonderful accomplishments because they are all fake and fraudulent, and that he actually is doing quite well, and that he's making America great again.
Right. He's making it white again and hate again. That's about it. First of all, America was never great. That's mythology. And, you know, here he is burying the country. But I don't want to spend too much time talking about him because everything will eventually come back to him. I don't know, because I know you've done a lot of work on JFK and the assassination. And as you know, or should know by now, they released some more papers on the JFK assassination last week. The rest of them, which they still have a treasure trove of, it's up to Donald Trump whether or not he will sign to release those papers in October.
Okay, well, first of all, they started releasing these in July. I'm very, very aware of this. And some of it has been released in whole, in part, and some things are still being withheld. Beyond even the October date, which has zero to do with Trump. I want you to know that I hate to sound like I'm defending the guy, but some of these things are being withheld still based on agency concerns, et cetera, et cetera.
But he still has to sign off on the release. The president still has to do that.
Well, right, because the Assassination Records Review Board was formed under the executive branch, which means that it is literally under the control of the executive branch. And this is the mechanism by which these things are being released. Now, a lot of documents have been dumped already. I really never held a lot of, I wasn't holding my breath for this anyhow, because I don't believe for a second there's going to be a smoking gun contained in these documents anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be a cynical position to take.
No, I agree. And they've had, 60 years to alter them or fake them.
Well, 60 years to alter them, fake them, there's all those possibilities, but there's also this barrage of garbage which they've entered into the collection. Literally speaking, I was joking with another researcher a couple of weeks ago about how we would actually encounter copies of the very same declassified, now I'm telling you this comes out of declassification, newspaper clippings.
Hmm.
All right. Yeah, I do mean like a regular newspaper, like somebody cut it out and kept it for their notes during one of these committees or investigations, and these things would become classified. Also, there is not a clear indication of what has been reclassified, which all these things occurred before Trump got into office. I don't imagine for a moment he's going to fix any of this.
Right, or investigate 9/11. But you know what? I read an article this morning. I don't remember where it was. It might have been Truth Out. It might have been a different one of those papers where they said the CIA is now rethinking the shitty job, basically, they did investigating the Kennedy assassination. But as I read this extremely lengthy article, all I could read in it, and that goes to a conversation we had right before we got on the phone, which we can share with our audience after this. As I'm reading this super lengthy article, first of all, it tells you nothing. Second of all, it talked about how frustrated people are trying to get through these thousands of papers, not finding anything new. But the common theme through this entire article I read was Lee Harvey did it. Okay? And as soon as I see that, I already know the whole article is useless. Okay? And it's just, once again, reiterating the official story. And I was shocked because I said, okay, this is on an alternative paper, an alternative writer. And he's still promoting the Oswald story. And after reading through the entire article, nowhere does he talk about when this case was brought back up in, I think, 91. And they proved that it was a conspiracy because this article said it was just the single bullet, was still reiterating that, only one shooter, but making it like, oh, the CIA could have interviewed this person or that person and maybe gotten more truth. So to me, you know, you and I were talking it before the show where you said, you know, people accuse you of reading mainstream media. Well, I read mainstream media too, but the same way I read alternative media this morning. What are they trying to tell us and what are they not telling us? Is this propaganda or not? And when you have a good knowledge of reality, not Trump's reality, but real reality, you can see through the bullshit right away. So for me, it's important to read it all. And, you know, yeah, there's some truth in some things. And most of the time, you know, back in the 60s, we had a song called Believe Half of What You See and None of What You Hear. Today, you can't even believe half of what you see.
No, this is true. And let's straighten out a couple of things for the record real fast. We have a unique situation with the Kennedy assassination where there is literally two separate conclusions to be had by the U.S. government. You know what the first one was? That's the Warren Commission. Oswald and Oswald alone,
right?
Excuse me, killed Kennedy. And, of course, the other conclusion, which is not often talked about, is that Jack Ruby and Jack Ruby alone decided to kill Oswald. These two things came together and happened coincidentally.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's put that aside. In the 1970s, we had something called the House Select Committee on Assassinations, which concluded both in the John F. Kennedy case and the Martin Luther King Jr. case that both of them were very likely killed as a result of a conspiracy. Now, the House Select Committee still believed that Oswald is involved, and I do not entirely remove the possibility that Oswald is involved in some way from the equation because, well, I haven't found all of the evidence required to do that.
Right.
To say that he's the lone shooter, though, is absolutely insane, and even your government will tell you that. In the 1990s, even, there was a civil case regarding the King assassination. I think it was 1999 in Memphis, Tennessee, which is where that case would appropriately be held, and it was a civil case because the accused and convicted killer of Martin Luther King Jr., which, by the way, Lee Harvey Oswald was never actually accused in a formal way or brought to court or tried for the murder, so it is an open homicide, the Kennedy assassination, to this day in Dallas, Texas, just for the record. But even with these conclusions in hand, we will still be treated with the idea that, well, Lee Harvey Oswald did it, but hey, let's get some questions answered. The CIA, in 1964, conducted an internal investigation regarding themselves. Of course, that was never made available to the Warren Commission, the American public, or anybody else. If it wasn't for Oliver Stone's film and the work of a few other people and public outcry over the decades, we would not even be aware of that fact. And yes, indeed, I don't expect a, hey, look, we are the CIA, we planned it document to suddenly tumble out into the National Archives, you know, tomorrow or in October or
right.
even in another 100 years. Because I remind you of this, Maria, you know that other president that people like to compare Kennedy to, who was around during, well, the time of the Civil War. Interesting thing, Civil War, that phrase. But put that aside. A guy named Abraham Lincoln, you know, he was assassinated, too, with a gunshot to the head. You're aware of that, right, Maria?
Of course.
Well, do you know that to this day there is still classified documentation regarding the
well,
Abraham
yeah.
Lincoln assassination?
You know, before he died, Dave McGowan and I were working on a series of Abraham Lincoln. Dave, I mean, if anybody should have been allowed to time travel, it should have been Dave. But he had disproved so many fallacies about what we were taught about Lincoln's assassination. And I still have those shows in the archives for people listening. And that was really a sad thing that we never got to finish it. But
a tremendous fallacy that I guarantee you Dave immediately pointed to. And I didn't hear this, by the way. I didn't listen to those shows with you two. But I guarantee you that Dave had already remarked on the fact that this is a proven criminal conspiracy that is literally was adjudicated in court.
Right. We were laughing at how ridiculous the official story on Lincoln was. And how many people ended up swinging in the gallows for it. But as far as history and school teaches us, it was John Wilkes Booth, which, you know, you got to listen to the shows, okay? I don't want to ruin the surprise. But it's nothing is ever as it seems, and nothing is ever the way that they tell us.
No, absolutely not. And that was the point I was going to get to also. But I still, again, when everybody talks about what could be released, what will Trump do? Is Trump aware? He's going to release stuff. Oh, he's going to let us know the truth. Let me explain something to you. Even this man, if I assumed that he had the greatest of intentions, is not going to be able to overcome the gatekeepers that make sure that this material is never, ever adequately released to the public.
Right.
I want you guys to be aware of that, whoever's
listening
to me right now.
Well, don't forget a lot of his voters and a lot of his supporters, even in the supposed alternative media, believed him when he said, you know, he was going to reopen 9/11. Because, you know, there is video of Trump, you know, after 9/11 saying that there was no way two planes took those buildings down. You could still YouTube that. So that gave people the false hope that he was going to reopen 9/11. And I said, that's never going to happen. I mean, don't people understand the way the system is set up? The president is a figurehead, okay? He's going to do what he's told to do, or they're going to show him a rerun of the Zapruder film.
No, absolutely. And it almost makes you wonder. See, you did say it. We were going to have to get back to him, and you were right. It almost makes you wonder what instructions were actually given to Agent Orange here, because it seems to me as though people are being kept well distracted by the shiny object while the kleptocracy continues to rob everyone and everything that it possibly can lay its hands on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the outsider is not so far outside of the system as he is merely part of the equation and part of the game.
Well, he's a perfect, he's a perfect reflection of the system. Greedy, ignorant, has no care or concern for anybody but himself. And that's the, you know, that's the way it is. And people, you know, that are still at this point, you know, 7 months in, still supporting him, obviously are not paying attention. You know, so far he's taken away protections for old people in nursing homes to sue for abuse. He's trying to get rid of overtime pay. He's put all these crazy judges in place. He's stripping the EPA. I mean, on and on and on. And besides wanting to undo every single thing that Obama possibly did, except amp up his wars. That he's doing.
Well, rather quietly, because nobody wants to even face that fact. I'm literally under attack for having made the statement that we have a higher incidence of reported civilian casualties since this man has become the alleged commander-in-chief. Even though he's really turned over, and no one's alarmed, by the way, he's really turned over control of the Pentagon to a set of generals.
Right.
Now, I always understood, and maybe it's just me, and you can correct me, Mom, but I thought they taught us in civics class that there was a purpose for having civilian control over the military in order so that the military agenda did not dictate our actions on the world stage, because the military's thought process is not necessarily always in the best interest of the American public. I thought that that's almost exactly what was, well, in what they used to call a civics book about why it is the executive branch did what it did and why it is there is civilian control over these arms of government that are military. I mean, did I miss something?
No. Now, you know, it's funny because I just got a story similar for that for Thursday's news show. And I posted it on my my public profile on Facebook about the danger of having these military men in Trump's close proximity. And what people don't understand is that, like you said, the military is only trained for war. And they only see things in black and white. And then the article that I had read was positing that perhaps they're getting ready for a coup. And then I said only Trump would be stupid enough to put the generals in place that would end up taking him out. It looks like interesting days indeed. Yes, I agree with you. These are civilian jobs, and they weren't meant to be filled by the military, and for good reason.
You know, and some people have posited that it is interesting that we are now confronted with a situation where Mad Dog Mattis and other military personnel are really seeming like the adults in the administration. I don't know why that's so hard for me to even get out of my mouth.
Well, yeah, and that's how they refer to them, as the adults in the room. But what they admitted today, and I don't remember, I read so much shit already this morning, but what they admitted today was none of them can keep Trump under control. John Kelly thought he'd be able to until Trump went into his Twitter madness yesterday.
Oh, and sadly, Maria, you and I did not have the chance to discuss the mooch. Because he didn't last.
He came and went. He came and went, thank God. What an embarrassment to the Italian race. So long sucker to that asshole. But they said that Trump has encouraged, and listen, I got no problem with cursing. You know me very well. But he's actually encouraged so much cursing and screaming in the administration that the morale in this administration is like on the floor.
Well, you know, here's the thing. They have to interact with people who are bureaucrats, and we could sit and have our discussions about exactly how valuable bureaucrats are, you know, in various positions. But one must say that in order to operate a bureaucracy, you need people that seek to have order and are not there to simply shift with the political winds. And if you're going to beat these people down, okay, as it seems his people have done, it just seems to be an inefficient business model. I don't know. Again, you know, look, I'm not a guy who ever ran a large corporation. I'm not, you know, a big con man swindler like the...
Chuck, for years, people in America have said, what if we had a business person as president instead of a politician? Well, they're learning that lesson now. You know, what could go wrong with a guy who has 4,000 lawsuits against him, 1,800, I think, accusations of rape or sexual abuse, 5 kids from 3 different wives, people he screwed out of money. You know, gee, what could go wrong with a guy like that, a businessman for president? And I think Trump is showing them, here's what could go wrong. And everybody in his cabinet, they're all missing in action. You know, where's Rexxon Tillerson? Okay, you got to look at all of them and say, well, you know, what are they doing? What are we paying these people for? Vacation on top of vacation?
Well, and you know what's most fascinating to me really is not the idiocy and not the corruption that is extremely obvious. The most interesting part of this whole equation to me is individuals who, previous to this guy becoming even a viable candidate for president, would have told you that they believed in personal liberty. Would have told you that they believed in America, that they believed that we could really literally rise back to being a great nation, you know, again, once great nation, and where in history was that again? I don't know, but look, we'll put it aside, and we'll go with their fantasy for a moment. These people that said that they couldn't stand the fact that there was selling out to foreign powers of this country.
There were
all kinds of backroom deals that went on that were disgusting, that were against American principles altogether. You know, that there was a moral outrage that they could have all the time over the different behaviors of the Obamas and, hey, even the Bushies, right? We could say, oh, they were not morally correct either, and we need to rise above these things, and we need to become, you know, a constitutional republic and behave, you know, as the great power that we are in the world. These are the people that are clinging to this guy, who obviously sold us out to a hostile nation, okay, as far as I'm concerned, who has obviously no clue what he's doing when it comes to international diplomacy, which I don't know if you remember, Maria, but that was the first thing I said when this guy was going to take office is, oh, my God,
right,
who is going to handle international diplomacy? Because this guy has no clue about subtlety or even, well, the rest of the world, how it really works outside of, you know, where the patent office is in each country so he can apply for a new brand.
Right. But all he's got is business people in positions that don't know dick, as far as I'm concerned. And you look at what's happening to our country and especially around the world, how they're laughing at him with every leak, okay, especially that leak phone call with Mexico and Australia. And, you know, this is what America has been reduced to. You know, years ago I used to say a country founded by genocide can only end the same way. I was hoping, of course, I wouldn't have to be here for it. But we might all just be here for it. I mean, you know, 2 days ago, a Muslim mosque was bombed. I believe it was in Minnesota. Trump had nothing to say. Now, you could say whatever you want about Obama, whether it was a, you know, a black church, whether it was a Muslim mosque, whatever, the Jews getting slammed. He always came out and said something. And people are online saying, how is it that Trump has had nothing to say? And look how long it took him to say something about the 3 Marines that died. I said, because he emboldens these people and he encourages it. Why would he say anything when he's been, you know, big time responsible for demonizing the Muslims?
Well, remember what happened in the Northwest when a woman was being harassed by a lunatic, a racist lunatic, let's be honest. And two people lost their lives.
Right.
Defending her on a train or a bus. I forget which it was. But where was the great statement from
Nowhere.
The leader?
Nowhere. But if there was a white person, he'd have something to say. So, you know, people still want to say he's not a racist. Then, you know, how can you change their mind? You can't. That just means he's a reflection of them. Okay. And that's the way I see it. You know, the worst president ever, and I never thought anybody would beat George W. Bush, the war criminal. Chuck, we're going to go to a short break. When we get back, we're going to shift gears big time. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Spiritual professor is a name some of Maria's students and clients refer to her as. After a consultation or class with Maria, some have gone as far as calling her the Force or the Oracle. Maria is simply a woman, a mother, and grandmother who was born with a keen natural intuition. She's got a lot of life experience and she's a constant student herself. This is what qualifies her to help those who are on their journey and need some direction. Some students visit her in person, others on the phone or on Skype. Maria will work with you on your own timeline, guiding you down your best possible path. You can learn to balance the mind, body, and spirit in what seems to be a world gone mad. As David Icke says about Maria, Maria's the real deal, extremely intuitive but with her feet firmly on the ground. Out there, but down here, no bullshit. Whatever you need in this part of your journey is what Maria will help you with. She'll give you the tools you need to make the rest of your life the best of your life. See private consultations with Maria on the site at meria.net and pick the one that resonates with you. You are not alone. The professor is in at maria.net. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Hell and High Water with myself and Charles. I never call you Charles. Chuck Ocelli. Get over to ocelli.com if you're listening to this on Gary Null's network. His show, my show, two shows you need to be supporting. Okay, there's a million shows out there, but guess what? Mine's been here the longest, 18 years. And we need your help. We don't have commercials. We're not begging for money. We're just telling you do the right thing. You're probably working two or three jobs. We're not. We're trying to do this for our country. So if you feel a little guilt that you're too busy working yourself to death at the same money you made in 1970, support people that are doing the work for you. Okay. I said we were going to shift gears, and I'll tell you why, Chuck. Yesterday, I got an advanced copy of David Ray Griffin's latest book. And needless to say, I went through the entire book yesterday. Not word for word, but entire book, because I've had David on my show since he first started investigating 9/11. My blurb was probably on the first three of his books. And his work is excellent. And it's interesting because I love the book. I totally agree. Here's something that no one should ever forget in this country. It's called Bush and Cheney, How They Ruined America and the World. And what's interesting is when he wrote the book, the election hadn't happened. And then he had production problems, so the election happened. So he was able to make the connections all the way up through Trump because he had time to include it in the book. But when you look at, you want to go Obama, this and that, the truth of the matter is this world changed with the stolen election of 2000, which gave us 9/11, which gave us the police militarized state we live in, which created ISIS, and all of it was handled by Dick Cheney. So this is something that's super important. He doesn't leave Obama out of the mix. He does put in that Obama, you know, amped up, continued all of Bush's wars, you know, amped up, you know, I think he had, what, 26,000 drones, I think, in his last year that he, you know, set on the world. He doesn't leave anything out, and that's what I like about him. He's not particular on anybody's side, but no one in the world will ever convince me that the world we're living in today isn't a result of that stolen election in 2000. and the Bush-Cheney administration.
Well, let's take Mr. Cheney back to where he belongs, which is the Ford administration. Mm-hmm. Okay? This is when he got his teeth into things, to be honest with you. Even though they had to make a special dispensation because he had a DWI, and they had to make special arrangements in order for him to be part of the White House staff. That's historical fact. Look it up. Him and Rumsfeld both actually come in there, but Rumsfeld, I don't think, had a DWI. I didn't check too hard on that. He's criminal enough in a lot of other ways. Fact is that this is when these guys get in. They're nurtured over the years. They leave for a bit because a guy named Carter comes in and he thought he could do something, which, recently we still look at this guy creating Habitats for Humanity while others are, painting pictures and making political statements in their retirement.
Yeah, making jokes. You know, look at Junior there, W. He comes out there like, and you won't remember this person, George Jessel. You know, it's just like he's an MC cracking jokes, and everybody thinks he's great because Trump's so bad. But this guy should be locked up for ignorance because, let's face it, Cheney was president those at least the first 5 years of Bush's reign.
Oh, yes.
Let's not forget, Cheney was also a man who called Nelson Mandela a terrorist and fought against the release of Nelson Mandela.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's always been a scumbag, is basically what I'm trying to say. Now that, I guess now my filthy language is politically correct.
Well, you might be able to get a job with the mooch if he gets back in the White House.
Yeah, he's a moocher, right? You know, in New York, and to Italians, what people don't realize, they probably saw that bullshit story of how he got his nickname on Wall Street. But what people don't understand, to an Italian, when you call somebody a mooch, you're calling them basically a bloodsucker.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means to mooch off somebody else. It's like you might as well be a living parasite, and he fit the bill perfectly. But here's the other thing, because, you know, there's so much in this book that brought back my anger and fire and knowledge of the stolen election, plus 9/11, plus the wars. But I also want to talk to you about what I said to a couple of other shows I was on. I think I mentioned it on Jack's show last week, too. It's August. Trump's on vacation. Okay? In August of 2001, Bush was on vacation.
That's right.
And at that time, he was presented with the white paper from Condoleezza Rice, which some of it said, there'll be significant terrorist attacks against the United States in the coming weeks or months. The attacks will be spectacular. They may be multiple. Bin Laden determined to hit the U.S. What did Bush do with that?
Well, as far as I know, he ignored it. Interesting that he would be getting a report on a former CIA asset apparently having turned against us, because let's not forget that the Mujahideen was supported years before. Oh, wait a minute. His father might have known something about that.
Right, and maybe his pal, Ronald Reagan, the other brain-dead president we had. But here's the thing. Now we can fast-forward this. So either Webster Tarpley, you could go one way or the other with Webster's work. Lie hop or my hop? Let it happen on purpose or made it happen on purpose? I go with the made it happen on purpose. Because when you see Rudy Giuliani, and I'm sure you've seen the comments and the memes, Rudy Giuliani says that Bush, we haven't had a terrorist attack in the United States since Bush was president. And people are saying, what about 9/11? But I say it's a Freudian slip. He knows that wasn't a terrorist attack because he was part of it.
No, and I absolutely go with you on this. What we have here is a situation, and I'll tell you that I can't fully unravel what happened there, just like everything else, except, you know, we discussed the Warren Commission earlier, the alleged investigation into the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Well, we had this 9/11 commission. They did learn one interesting lesson from the Warren Commission, and you got to give them this. They didn't bother to even release the documentation that backed up their bullshit report. Mm-hmm. Excuse my language. I don't know
my
if it curse on air at all.
My son.
But it is what it is.
You're politically correct now in Trump land.
Okay.
But here's the other point, Chuck. Here we are in a redo. We got a 17-year war that Eric Prince wants to now colonize Afghanistan, and Trump's basically handing it over to Betsy DeVos's murdering brother, fake Christian bastards. But here it is August again, and 9/11 is a favorite number of the Illuminati. And once again, we have an extremely stupid president on vacation who is not considered legitimate, who needs to be normalized. And the same way that Bush needed 9/11 to discount the recount that should have been announced on September 12th, I don't put it past Trump to create an inside job to try to legitimize him, especially being 33% in the polls. And nothing psychs up Americans more than another war.
Well, this is what worries me about North Korea and why I mentioned it again at the outset of the show. This could be the convenient thing that goes on in order to distract us from, well, gee, was there Russian collusion? This could be the convenient thing to distract us from, there is nothing getting done on the domestic front. This guy's constantly on vacation, even though he has his party in control of both the House and the Senate. Still nothing is getting done. Okay.
Doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't it sound like a replay of the Bush years?
That's exactly what I'm saying here, is that I agree with you. This is dangerously similar. Mm.
And then you look at, 9/11 was the ticket for the Islamophobia that went crazy in this country, which still is happening, as mosques continue to get hit, women wearing a headscarf continue to get attacked. And all of that goes back to 9/11 with the bullshit story that the hijackers, the supposed hijackers, 14 of them, were Muslim. And from Saudi Arabia, by the way, which none of our presidents since 9/11 have punished.
Well, you have to go there and put your hands on the orb, don't you?
Just the only big ball you'll ever see.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Because obviously he has none.
Well, look, again, the state of the situation in the Middle East.
We destroyed the Middle East after 9/11. That was part of it. Global chaos. That's what David Ray Griffin calls it in his book. The Middle East was doing great until 9/11, and we went in and totally decimated it.
Well, right. I mean, and let us never forget the fact that a bystander nation was destroyed under false pretenses, and that's a little place called Iraq. And there was no justification whatsoever, not even on the, wait a minute. There were supposed to be weapons of mass destruction. Oh, right. He must have something to do with 9/11 because why? I don't know. Did anybody ever answer that? He harbors terrorists. Okay. This is interesting. Interesting justification for being able to invade and destroy and occupy a foreign nation, regardless of what you think about the way they were conducting themselves. Oh, well, he gassed his own people. They tried to sell us that about Syria not too long ago. You notice that Syria is not in the news anymore.
No, but, we're still in Syria. We're still in that war in Syria. Now we have troops on the ground in Yemen. And our government won't even tell us how many of our troops are on the ground in Yemen. And then when three of our Marines get killed, we got a president who comes out slamming another man's service, Blumenthal. I don't know if you watched that war between those two.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's posting this from a 5-times draft dodger.
Yeah, a few of us can be blessed with bone spurs like that, I guess. And meanwhile, look, just for the record again, I was ineligible to serve, and quite honestly, I'm very glad that I was, because I would never encourage another human being that I thought was worthy of survival or being anything other than fodder for a cannon to be served up to military service at this point, because what are you given to do?
You're fighting for corporations. We're not fighting for freedoms, because 9/11 was the death blow to the Constitution and freedoms in this country. Another great point that's brought out in this book. I looked at this book, it was almost like a reminder to me. Okay, I started from the back. So maybe I was a Jew in a past life, because Jewish people read from the back. but you got to understand, Chuck, for me, I started this show in July of 2000. Okay, what are the chances? All right. And it was a fun little show. You know, it wasn't heavy duty or anything like that. And then Bush said he was going to run for office. And as an environmentalist, I said, yeah, I got to cover politics, even though I don't want to, because you can't get an enemy of the environment in, because I knew it would be too late. And now it is too late. And when I look at that, you know, right away, the election comes along and I cover the Stalin election furiously. And I truly believed that was going to be the biggest story I'd ever cover on my show. And then, you know, 9/11 happened. And then the wars. And then the police state. And on and on and on it went, you know.
Right. And look, this is not something that happened coincidentally. This was part of the plan.
Of course.
But, you know, let's be honest. There needed to be an excuse in order to get people to very happily accept the idea that they could be surveilled at all times and give me this whole line of reasoning that, hey, look, I'm not doing anything wrong, so I don't care if somebody's watching me, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And what are you worried about? They turn it back on you.
Right.
And you try and explain to them that I don't see it as anyone else's business what someone does so long as they are not causing harm. I don't understand it. I mean, look, if you're a harmful individual, you're out there doing some damage to other people, and then they decide to dig into your life, well, you know what? You invited that.
Right.
But there are innocent people who are accidentally named in things, who are
swept up,
put on no-fly lists, and amazing, you can't travel in this country or do anything else without your papers in order either, Maria.
I know, and I mean, listen, I try to warn people of this, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. You know, this morning I made a meme that seems to be getting a lot of play, and it just says that Trump should be required to wear a body camera at all times.
Mm-hmm. And would you want to sit and watch it, though?
Well, some people said they wouldn't want to watch him undress or take a dump or whatever. But the truth of the matter is, here's a man who won't even allow the Secret Service around him. While the same minute, you know, the same day he landed in Florida, two or three hours later, his Russian pal also landed in Florida. So could that be, I mean, in New Jersey? Could that be why he didn't want the Secret Service there? The only way they're protecting him is with an aerial drone. Okay, so how do we know? He has private confidential meetings with Putin, won't tell us what they talked about. He needs to be wearing like a child. You know how you see parents walking their children with a little harness around them so they don't get lost or in trouble? Which I always detested, by the way. Your child is not a dog or an animal. But with Trump, it's the only way we would see what he sees, hear what he says, and know what he's doing and who he's meeting with.
Well, and I keep asking the very same question because, look, the only reason why I keep talking about this is not because I try to make it sound fun, Maria, but honestly, it's not.
No, it's not.
It is so revolting that, quite honestly, I have an emotional, visceral reaction now.
I've had it all along.
That's beginning to just happen spontaneously whenever I'm confronted with images and sounds from this man.
I know. The stress is all across the nation. I know you listen to my news reports, and you see how many people are going to their doctors, how many psychiatrists are saying they've never seen such despair and stress from people from a presidential election. And I totally relate. I totally relate to what you're saying because, you know, he's sickening, but he's dangerously stupid. His vice president is not as strong or as smart, I hate to say it, as Cheney. So it's like God knows what these two assholes could get us into. And as I get the book yesterday and I'm looking through it, he's got a big-ass chapter on nuclear holocaust. Are we headed towards World War III? And he makes a case that this has been on target for a long time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, nothing is new under the sun, Maria. I mean, we know this. These plans don't happen overnight. That which seems spontaneous is always addressed in the contingencies that are allowed for, that are designed for. I mean, do you think it was a coincidence that we were facing the transgender ban in the military from a Twitter blast?
No, and then he put that out there as distraction from Russia. And there's nothing been done on it. There's no laws. Everything he says, there's no law enacted. It goes away because his attention span is zip. And he just throws those out there for an emotional reaction. You know, and coming from a draft dodging bastard like him, conniver, who, you know, somebody said to me, oh, why are you knocking Trump? He's done more for America. You know, what have you done? I said, well, I've paid my taxes, something he hasn't done. You know what I mean? But people seem to be okay with this. So yeah, you know, and you see a lot of stuff, I'm sure, online of people talking about World War III, because we have nuts on both sides now who want to use nuclear weapons preemptively, and Russia's well aware of that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And look, to state that, and again, I hearken back to the military control of the Pentagon and how dangerous this is. I want people to never forget that, say what you will about, again, we talked about JFK earlier, say what you will about that man, but he fought, and if you listen to the conversations which have now been released through the Kennedy Library in the White House, okay, with the president, with his Joint Chiefs of Staff, you can listen to men trying to convince the president of the United States, because he still had some control over the military, that a war with the Soviet Union was winnable, a nuclear war was something that could actually be won, so long as we struck first and did the right thing and handled it strategically properly.
Right.
And in fact, this was the way forward. This was the way that we were going to solve many of the problems on the planet, by literally launching a surprise nuclear attack against the Soviet Union.
And all people have to do is look at the fallout from Chernobyl, the fallout from Fukushima, which is a silent nuclear war, killing us all every day. And somehow these people think that, you know, radiation isn't as bad as they used to think it was. And I know you didn't get to hear my whole show yesterday, but one of the most important stories was the fact that we have already surpassed for 2017 using up the planet's resources for what we need. So we are now, for the rest of the year, borrowing off next year's resources, and that we're actually using 1.5 planets of resources every year. So in Griffin's book, he goes from nuclear holocaust to ecological holocaust. And I just wanted to give you this one question out of his book. He said, what's more likely, a nuclear or ecological holocaust? He said, a nuclear holocaust can't be dismissed as impossible or improbable, but an ecological holocaust is more likely. And they say a lot of experts have realized that it was the reign of George W. Bush that doomed the planet environmentally. And now the reason I'm impressed by that is that was why I started covering politics, because the voice said, you've got to stop Bush. That'll be the end of the environment. And I was an environmental long before I decided to do radio. So now I look at it, you know, I don't know if you saw the video of the kid that went swimming and came out all eaten up from whatever bacteria was in the water, the flesh-eating whatever. And you just look at, you know, environmentally, we've destroyed this planet for what we need to survive. I wanted to add that.
No, and look, it's quite honestly, let me go a little further than what he says there. And let me codify it this way: a nuclear disaster is certainly a possibility. It is something that is avoidable, but an ecological disaster is already in progress and is actually inevitable at this point, unless there is a serious amount of change in human behavior. We're certainly destroying the planet, and by various means. There are biochemical means. There is the nuclear aspect to it outside of the weapons, by the way.
Right.
You know, the plants and things like that. We could discuss all of that if you wanted to, but we don't have enough time left now, certainly in this hour. But there is a lot to this, and it's amazing that while we sit and debate the many different behaviors of an elitist alleged white man who is allegedly the leader of the alleged free world. Yeah, I'll use that word a lot of times. We can sit and debate that all day long, but one thing we cannot debate is the unmitigated destruction that has been loosed upon the entire ecology. And I'm not somebody who's saying, you know, hey, look, we should fall into line with all of the environmental concerns, because a lot of that stuff has been hijacked by people who wish to monetize it and use it for control. And I'm certainly not one of these people who believes that Agenda 21 is a good thing. Okay.
Right.
But I will say this, on occasion, when I watch the ignorance, when I watch the tremendous and horrendous lack of ability for people to recognize that we are literally destroying the only planet that we have to live on at this point, and that at some point in time, very soon, there may be absolutely no turning back, when I see that, I often do wonder if those who seek to reduce the population, if those who are the elitists, the globalists, who wish to control, you know, birth rates and everything else, if maybe they don't have a point. Because maybe, just maybe, en masse, people are just fully too ignorant in order to appreciate the gift that is this planet. I wonder that myself quite often, Maria, and I'm sorry, I know that sounded a little harsh.
No, that's okay. Listen, one day you and I will do a show just on that, because that's always been the reason I live, is teaching the medicine wheel. And the medicine wheel is all about our interconnectedness to all living things on this planet, and our interdependence on it. So, yeah, well, maybe we'll do that next time. Anyway, we're out of time, Chuck.
Well, it always goes so fast when we get together.
I know. It's easy. It's easy peasy. It's easy peasy. But I'll talk with you soon. You know, have a great month. If we're all still here next month, we'll see. So hug your kids and love each other and go out and hug a tree and tell it that you appreciate it still standing there. All right, Chuck, we'll talk again soon. You take good care.
All right. Thanks again.
Bye. Chuck Ocelli, check him out at ocelli.com. Thanks for listening and supporting the show. Get your friends to do it while we still can, okay? And I'll see you guys on Thursday with lots of news you need to know.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.